We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The guy I've been advocating the most for is Josh Rosen, obviously. And we talk with his head coach from high school right now, Coach Jason Negro from St. John Bosco. Coach, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Yeah, I know you were interviewed. We were talking about an article in The Athletic in which you were interviewed, and the high school coaches for Josh Allen was interviewed, and Sam Darnold as well. And I know you had a lot of great things to say about Josh Rosen. Have you been surprised by the comments that his college coach, Jim Mora Jr., has made here? Not that he's killed him, but there have been some head-scratching comments. Have you been surprised by those?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I mean, I think that what Coach Mora has said, and I know him very well, obviously through the time that Josh was there and recruiting our athletes, I just don't think that he clarified much after he said what he said. I don't necessarily disagree with some of the comments. However, you know, I do think that there's some clarification that would have cleared it up a little bit, and I think that's where he kind of missed out.
You said you don't disagree with some of the comments. When he makes those comments, what do you agree with, you know, when it comes to Josh, in terms of his asking the questions and, you know, why he wants to know why he's a millennial and all those things?
Yeah, you know, in terms of the why question, you know, I've answered that before, and I think one of the things that people fail to realize is, you know, as a coach, you know, you want your kids to understand the why behind things. And that's one of the things that, you know, we and our staff here at St. John Bosco, we embrace. You could do one of two things as a coach. You can look at it as a criticism upon your teaching, or you can embrace it and try to give the athlete what he's looking for. And during the time that Josh was here with us, you know, we embraced his, you know, questioning of what we were going to do, because it wasn't in a malicious way. It was a way for him to understand what he was doing. He didn't want to just understand the quarterback position. He wanted to understand what they were doing up front and being able to set the protections. He wanted to understand what the coverages were and how we were going to make our side adjustments on it. So that's just him being a learner, and I had no problem with Josh, you know, asking questions and wanting to understand the why behind what we were trying to accomplish offensively.
Coach, there have been some suggestions, you know, anonymous reports, if you will, that I've, you know, criticized, but that he's hard to coach. What would you say to that?
I think that's, you know, a fallacy. I don't think he's hard to coach at all. I think he's a great kid. And I'm not just saying that because he came into my school. I mean, I had an opportunity to work with Josh for 5 years here at Bosco. We worked with him as an eighth grader all the way through his 4 years. And then obviously, you know, having a close relationship over the last 3 years at UCLA. I think he's, unlike, he's just like any other student athlete that you have to coach, you know. I mean, he's going to have times where, like you said, he's going to question things on why we're doing things. But when it came down to it and you really had to have a guy make a play and go out there and do what you needed him to do, there was none better at the high school level, in my experience.
You started working with him in eighth grade. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So what was he like in eighth grade? Did you know how special he was going to be? Did he have that ability at that early age?
I think from a skill standpoint, absolutely he did. You know, he was, you know, leading into his freshman year, coming through the, you know, the summer program and being a part of our off-season little 7-on-7 program that we participate in. He was making all the throws that our varsity guys were making at the time. You know, from a physical standpoint, we totally, you know, knew we had something special. We knew we had a guy that was polished and he understood, you know, how to play the game from a physical standpoint. What I didn't really anticipate was how cerebral he was and how intelligent he was when he got onto the field and how quickly he picked up the concepts that we were trying to teach. And that's what, you know, when I started to understand and learn that, I knew we had something special with him.
Glad to be joined by Jason Negro, head football coach, John Bosco High School in California. He coached Josh Rosen, and so we're getting some insight into Josh. When did he start varsity for you guys?
He actually started as a sophomore. You know, when he was a freshman, he was our backup quarterback. We had a guy that was a senior, a returning guy that had played for us for 2 years. You know, so Josh kind of sat behind him, but he got to play a little bit as a freshman, kind of got his feet wet a little bit, and then he took over full-time you know, as a sophomore, you know, we participate in a pretty high level league here in conference in California. And, you know, so for a freshman to come in, it's very, very rare, even if his abilities. But once he played as a sophomore, he never relinquished, you know, any of that, you know, time that he had as our starting quarterback. And he did great things and won a lot of ball games for us.
We're talking with Josh Rosen's high school football coach, Jason Negro, the 2013 National High School Coach of the Year. Coach, you know, a couple weeks ago, maybe more than that, maybe about a month ago, Josh Rosen made some comments where he said, you know, I'd rather be drafted lower and be with the right team than be with the wrong team. Some people here took that to mean he didn't want to play in Cleveland, or maybe nothing to do with Cleveland, maybe sure. just didn't want to play for the Browns, which would be understandable considering how bad the Browns are. Do you believe he'd be happy if drafted by the Browns at number one?
Yeah, I think he definitely would be happy. Personally, I don't think that the comments that he made were directed toward the city of Cleveland nor directed toward the Browns. I think that it's a very accurate statement. Just like I think Cleveland has to be able to pick their guy that they think best for their system.
Yeah.
You know, there's six quarterbacks in the draft that they're trying to evaluate and they're trying to fit their system. Well, I think a quarterback, you know, has to look at it from his standpoint, too. There's cities involved. There's location. There's weather. There's playing surfaces, there's divisions. I mean, I think, you know, Josh's comments were right on. It's not what I don't think the people in Cleveland wanted to hear, and it wasn't necessarily maybe what the Browns organization wanted to hear. But in terms of, I don't see it's any different than what they're doing in their evaluation of a player that he is evaluating the cities at which he could possibly play in, and what is going to fit his style of play or hit his personality or things like that. And again, that goes back to me just saying I think sometimes Josh is misunderstood, but
right.
if he's the number one draft pick in the NFL, I think he's going to be plenty happy.
What do you think about the concerns that some people have that because he's extremely smart, mm-hmm. it seems so stupid that people would be concerned about him being smart.
Yeah.
And that because, you know, his family has money and, you know,
mm-hmm. is he a spoiled rich kid, Jason?
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
And 100% no. No, that's a valid question. And I think it's a fair question to ask. He's not a golden spooner type guy. That's not the, or silver spoon, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
He's not that type of guy. You know, he was a kind of a hard worker in our program. You know, our program, we have a very diverse, you know, backgrounds. We have kids that come from Manhattan Beach like Josh, or kids come from the inner city like Inglewood or Compton. So for him to be able to fit into an environment like we have, you know, at our school, and we're 800 all boys, you know, he'd come onto campus. You would never knew that he came from money. You would never knew that, you know, he was well off, or, you know, he was living a life that was much different than a lot of the kids in our program. And Josh was a very humble guy. He was very grounded and very centered. And it was all about football and all about making our program better. And I would definitely disagree with any comment that Josh is some sort of rich kid or anything like that. I mean, if you look at the ESPN thing today about him and read that article, it talked about, you know, he's in jeans and a pair of Chuck Taylors.
Right.
That's who the guy is.
Coach, you in that Athletic article, you mm-hmm. shared a story about, I think you guys were going to Hawaii and some of the kids couldn't afford it. Could you share, for those who didn't get a chance to read the article, could you share that story?
Yeah, without question. You know, we went to Hawaii in 2014 to open our season up against St. Louis High School, and our kids had to raise $1,500 apiece in order to help with the travel fees. And Josh came into the office one day with myself and my football operations manager, Jesse, and he came in and said, listen, I know we're going to have a lot of kids that are going to have a hard time, you know, being able to afford this trip. I have an idea that I think we can raise some money. I said, okay, well, throw it at me. And he said that he wanted to try to create a community discount card and go around to the businesses and get discounts at some of the food places our kids would have traveled to, and then let the kids sell them and keep 100% of the profits. And that way it would all go toward the Hawaii trip. And I just was like, all right, Josh, that's a great idea, but I don't have the time to do it. My assistant doesn't have the time to do it. You're going to have to do it on your own. And he showed up the next day in a suit and tie and drove around before practice to all the businesses, got, you know, put together a little business plan and had, you know, agreements written out. And then he went down and created the cards, had them printed, had them made, distributed them to the kids, and conducted the entire fundraiser. And all those kids were able to go, and he didn't want anything from it. It didn't want any notoriety. I don't even think we talked about it up until now that he's getting ready for the draft is the only time I've really discussed it.
Mm. Well, that's a cool story. Jason Negro.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty remarkable for a guy just to come up with it. And then to be able to execute it the way he did was phenomenal.
See, that's the kind of insight that we just can't get anywhere else, because you don't know that about the kid. We can watch the games on ESPN. We can hear what the analysts say. We can listen to what they say on ESPN. But, like, I mean, that's a story from high school. That's inside the character. That's inside the kid.
That shows leadership.
It does. I agree with that. That's awesome.
Totally. And there's so many times and there's so many examples that I could come up with where, you know, Josh would do that. You know, we're a private school and we have high school nights where, you know, we go to people's homes that they open up a home for the community, and prospective students and families come, you know, and listen to some of the student athletes or even just the student band members or the people that are in the theater arts come and speak. And Josh was one of the guys that I would take with me, and we'd go and sit in front of these families in their living rooms, and he would tell the story of how he ended up at Bosco and things like that. And for a guy to be able to do that after practice, keeping up with the class load that he had to keep up with, was another, you know, kind of a tribute to the type of person that he is.
So,
you
know, go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, it's funny. Stephen A. Smith suggested, you know, last week that Josh Rosen would be more comfortable in New York because he's Jewish and there's a large Jewish population in New York. I happen to be Jewish myself, coach. Uh-huh. But, like, Josh Rosen, I know his dad's Jewish, his mom's not, but he went to a Catholic school, so he's obviously not uncomfortable being around Christians.
Yeah, no, not at all. You know, I mean, we're a faith-based school. We're Catholic by nature, obviously, and we do everything we do is from a Catholic principle. And but, you know, we like to be, you know, welcoming, and we pride ourselves on being faith-based. And the funny thing about Josh is, you know, he was a Jewish guy, and then his center on that team was a Jewish kid as well. So, you know, it was really funny. One morning when we were practicing, getting ready, doing a walkthrough on a Thursday before a game, it was Yom Kippur, and Josh and the center came with yarmulkes on, and, you know, got the kids got a lot of kick out of it and thought it was pretty funny. And, you know, it just kind of shows you the type of kid he is. He can adapt to any kind of situation. I mean, we would go to Mass, you know, obviously a couple times a week. Every game day we would have Mass, and sometimes, you know, Josh would participate in that Mass just like any other student within our school. And, you know, and again, and I think that just is a testament to the type of kid he is and how he can adapt to any situation.
Jason Negro is our guest, the head football coach at John Bosco in California. For our listeners to get an idea of what your program is about, coach, because I don't think they understand how big time this program is, and you've turned this thing around, certainly. But, like, I was reading an article before we did this interview. Mm-hmm. This is back in October of 2017 when you guys had your game against Modern Day, right? Which is another – it's a big rivalry for you guys, correct?
Yes, sir.
So in this game, Adam – there was potentially 50 Division I players on the field.
Wow.
Between John Bosco and Mater Dei.
Yeah,
and you
cool.
had 9 kids go D1 this year, is that right?
Yeah, we had 9 kids go D1.
That's incredible. I mean, so how many guys on your team that start varsity go D1? That's insane.
Yeah, we're pretty fortunate. I mean, we're in an area here in Southern California. We're just a little bit of southeast of Los Angeles in a suburb of Bellflower. And we got a lot of talent around us. And right now on our current roster, and that doesn't include the seniors that are gone, we have 28 kids that hold Division I offers.
Wow.
We're just very fortunate. There's a lot of talent here. We have a lot of really skilled kids. And we're kind of the cream of the crop or the pinnacle of high school athletics in terms of the league that we participate in, which is the Trinity League. And Modern Day ended up being, you know, Max Preps national champions, USA Today national champions last year. And they had actually beat us in the league. And then we got all the way to the finals for the Southern California Regional, and they beat us in the finals. But we got them in 13 and in 16. So it's been quite of a rivalry. And, you know, we got really good players here in our area. And it's just, you know, our league has been amazing. I mean, guys like, you know, Mark Sanchez played in the division that we play in, Carson Palmer, Matt Leiner, Matt Barkley, all those guys were quarterbacks. Sam Darnold also was in our playoff division from San Clemente. So, you know, all these guys are kind of in this area. We're just really surrounded by a lot of talented individuals.
Coach, what you mentioned Sam Darnold played in the league, and obviously he's being talked about for the Browns at number one, and they've been compared to each other. Obviously, they played against each other in college as well. So what did you think of him, and what do you think of him now?
I mean, I think Sam is a great kid. I'm really good friends with Jaime Ortiz, their head coach at San Clemente, and they do a really good job in terms of developing their athletes and their quarterbacks. They had a kid named Travis Wilson that we lost to back in 2011, I believe it was, in the playoffs, in the quarterfinals. But, you know, San Clemente is another school that does a really good job in terms of preparing players, you know, for the next level. And Sam's just a really good kid. You know, we had an opportunity to kind of see him. We never got to play him when he was at San Clemente. Just the playoffs didn't work out that way. But in terms of the type of individual he is and how hard of a worker he is and things like that. And, you know, you could, you know, might San Clemente is a very similar area to where, you know, Josh came from in Manhattan Beach. So they kind of come from the same type of surf background type thing. And he's just another kid that I think is going to do really well. And if Cleveland's lucky enough to pick him and get him at number one, I think he's going to be a home run.
Hey, Jason, you mentioned you know, all those, you have 28 kids on your roster right now with Division I offers. A kid you coached 2 years ago, Wyatt Davis, is on the Buckeyes roster playing for Urban Meyer. And listen, redshirted last year, but was one of the top recruits in the entire country as an offensive guard. And people are expecting this guy to maybe step into the starting role here very, very soon. What do you think about him?
He's an amazing player. And he's even a better individual. Wyatt is another hard worker. He comes, you know, to us, and he was a four-year player for us, three-year starter. Went to Ohio State, obviously wanted to challenge himself and play in the Big Ten. And, you know, I'm glad that he redshirted because I think it's going to give him an opportunity to grow a little bit, get a little bit stronger. And I definitely think, you know, as a redshirt freshman, he's going to be able to compete, you know, at one of those guard spots for Coach Meyer and be able to, you know, get those guys to the national prominence that they're expecting each and every year. You know, they recruit our guys quite a bit. You know, Ohio State does. Coach Chiano was here a lot during the offseason. They were trying to get one of our safeties, ended up going to Florida State. But they do a really good job in terms of recruiting, you know, the West Coast. And I'm really happy that Wyatt's playing for that program and is going to do really good things for Ohio State.
Coach, final thing. If you had the first pick in the draft for the Browns, who would you take at number one?
I'm taking Josh Rosen, baby.
Because he's not an idiot like Jim Mora.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm trying to, you know, get on Josh's good side. I just know what the person's all about. You know, I know what the kid brings and you know, what his makeup is internally. And like I said, I've had an opportunity to know Josh for going on 8 or 9 years. And, you know, there's not a better guy that I would want to have run in my program. You know, I've got two daughters. One of them is a freshman in high school. And Josh would be the kind of kid I would want my daughter to date. I just think that highly of him. And hopefully, you know, he can find a landing spot that's good for him and give him an opportunity to do well in the NFL. Certainly going to be difficult.
And donate all that money right back to St. John Bosco, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah,
I'm still looking for my first $1 million donor, so hopefully it's Josh. Yeah,
Coach, we appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
No problem, guys. Best of luck with you, and talk to you soon.
Same to you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.